Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
Oh, man, oh, man. For Friday, lots going on. Good afternoon. It is Super Talk 99.7 WTN 1205. Well, they got the guy that killed Kate Steinle is now suing the federal government. Wait till you hear this one. You want to talk about emboldened. This story will set your hair on fire. I've got that, of course, and a whole bunch of intel on Stormy Daniels. Now, apparently there are even more women with non-disclosure agreements. Going to talk about that as well straight ahead. Devin Nunez taking aim at the Democrats and the mainstream media as well. And one of my favorite stories of the day, I've got to get to this. A transgender visitor is now suing after prison guards ordered her to strip. Why did they order, quote unquote, her to strip? Well, because they couldn't quite figure out what was in the underwear of said transgender visitor. So that story is also straight ahead here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. So a lot of folks trying to derail President Trump and everything that he's trying to do. Stormy Daniels is one of them. Now, here is the story on Stormy Daniels. We all know about the fact that she is alleging an affair between President Trump and herself way back before he was president. Now, there was a non-disclosure agreement that was signed, and now the attorney for Stormy Daniels is saying, and by the way, Stormy Daniels herself says, well, listen, that non-disclosure agreement is no longer valid for a couple of different reasons. One, because it wasn't signed by President Trump. And the other was, of course, because of the fact that the $130,000 came from the attorney of President Trump. So now what we're finding out, according to the attorney for this woman, is that there are many more non-disclosure agreements that are out there. Now, I know that this is going to sound very familiar to you because over the past several months, we've heard about woman after woman after woman that comes out and has all of these allegations against President Trump before he was president. You remember the blockbuster story, and I forget where it was, but it was really an expose, if you will, on the clients of Lisa Bloom. Now, you know that Lisa Bloom is the daughter of Gloria Allred, and she had all of these women that had come out and were accusing President Trump of all of these various things before he was president. He groped. He did all of these other things. And all of these accusations, with each accusation, you looked at these women and they were getting some sort of a financial restitution as they were making these claims. And a lot of these claims were made, of course, we know before the election of 2016. And as the story goes, all of these clients of Lisa Bloom, this attorney, and again, the daughter of Gloria Allred, women were essentially getting paid to make these claims. They were getting their homes paid for. They were demanding and receiving thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in the text and email evidence, it showed that what they were clearly trying to do is they were trying to affect the election of 2016. So my question is this, just like all of those, 20 or so women that were accusing President Trump, along with Lisa Bloom, their attorney, well, now we have Stormy Daniels, and she is alleging this affair with President Trump. Now they're saying there are more. And my question is this. Are these women and all of these women with these apparent non-disclosure agreements, is this the same thing as all those women that were accusing President Trump of sexual harassment and worse before the election, only to find out that a lot of them were getting paid? Is this the same thing? Are these women that are going to come out now and these half dozen women that say that they have, well, have signed these non-disclosure agreements, are they getting paid now to tell their stories? Earlier in the week, I told you about the fact that there were, 10, 12, 13 people that said, listen, Storm, if you come forward and you tell your story, well, then guess what? We will pay the penalty. So people are dying to hear the complete story of Stormy Daniels. And you know, it is so funny. Now, I'm going to get into this in a moment, but people are thinking that the life and the story of Stormy Daniels is going to affect either the midterm elections or the presidential election of 2020. And I don't think it will. I've spoken to, I can't tell you how many political analysts who have said the same thing. Now, according to the attorney for this woman, the porn star Stormy Daniels, he's been approached by at least a half dozen women with stories similar to that of his clients. At least two of those women have also signed non-disclosure agreements. He says, and this is a quote, the initial consultations, the initial information that we're receiving indicates that some are striking similarities between their stories and that of my clients. Now, they say what's not clear in this story from Red State, it's not clear if any of these women who have reached out to Aventi were among those nearly 20 women who came forward a month before the 2016 election to say Trump had engaged in some form of sexual harassment or misconduct with them. But we know in the case of Daniels, Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen, has admitted that he set up a limited liability company and transferred $130,000 of his own funds to her. So that's going to be the big question. The big question is, what are the ulterior motives of these women, and do they have any proof? Because as we know, these allegations can all come forward, and until there's some actual proof, well, then it's all just a bunch of allegations, but nothing more, in my opinion, than hearsay and he said, she said. But as I said yesterday, we all know that President Trump isn't a Boy Scout. And when all of these allegations came out, I think I even said it on the air. Well, yeah, this kind of fits with what we knew that President Trump was before he was president. He was living the life of Donald Trump. But the bigger point, you know, we've had all kinds of politicians without these character flaws. And listen, let's face it. President Trump has an issue with staying faithful. I think we all know that. We knew that when we voted for him in 2016. So we know about these character flaws. But what we also know is there are politicians who are in Congress today. There have been presidents as well. As far as we know, they've never cheated. They don't have these character flaws. But what they do have is flaws in their thinking. And it's the flaw in their thinking that affect us, we, the American people. It is these politicians who do not have these same supposed character flaws that President Trump apparently has that partake in out-of-control spending. They think it's okay that we have non-vetted refugees coming into our country, that our immigration laws need not be enforced, that it was okay to sell out American values, allowed the VA to spiral out of control, the military to dwindle, and allowed our government to use the IRS as a weapon. In other words, most people don't care about these supposed character flaws of President Trump. Do I believe the character matters? Absolutely. I do believe the character matters. But I also think that all of these other things that I just mentioned also matter. And there's nothing that's surprising with this porn star. There's nothing surprising at all. Now, to me, it's all a money grab. It's all a fame grab for this particular woman, Stormy Daniels. Coming out now with all of these allegations against President Trump, we know that 60 Minutes has taped an interview. They're probably going to run the interview. The attorneys for President Trump, they're trying to decide how much they're going to fight this, if they can somehow force 60 Minutes to not run the interview. I just looked up on TV. For whatever reason, CNN is on the TV here in the studio. I've got to change that. But what is CNN's lead story? It's all about this woman. And I think that CNN and the media, they're making the same mistake that they made in the general election during the campaign. And that is that they are putting emphasis on the wrong things. Because if they think that the majority of the American people will be surprised, shocked, and angered by the fact that the president had an affair with this porn star, I would be willing to submit that as much as I don't like the fact that our president has these character flaws, I also don't like all of the other things that I just mentioned. And you know what? I hate the other things even more. I hate the fact that the VA has spiraled out of control more than the president supposedly had an affair. I hate the fact that our military has been allowed to dwindle to the point of the fact that we have how many of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all four of our services. They have been dwindling to the point where they simply cannot fight two wars. We know that. I hate the fact that we've allowed to our government to use the IRS as a weapon. I hate all of those things even more than I hate the fact that the president apparently had an affair. I mean, we can go down the road of immigration, non-vetted refugees. It goes on and on and on. But for the folks that in the media and the folks on the left and the people that think that this is going to be something that the American people, at least those that have voted for President Trump in the last election, if they think that this is something that is going to affect the midterms, I would say that they're mistaken. Now, as far as 2020 goes, God knows what's going to happen in the next 3 years. We really don't know. The economy could be going gangbusters still in by the time 2020 hits. The economy could tank. We could get hit with more terrorist attacks. It goes on. We just don't know. It's far too early to tell. But it just seems to me that the emphasis is being placed on the wrong things these days. And the reason why, because I know that there's people that are asking the question right now. OK, well, then why are you, did you lead off your show with it at 12:06? Because I think that it's up to me and it's up to us in talk radio to be able to battle the left's narrative. It's up to us to point out the silliness of what they are trying to portray to the American people. Is an American president having an affair before he was the president a big deal? Well, yeah, it is. But I think one of the things that it will also tell you is that we knew that the president had character flaws. We knew that this is something that President Trump had done in his past. And yet we voted him in anyway. And the reason why we voted him in is because the people who had been running Washington, they were full of not only, in my opinion, character flaws, but also decision flaws as well. So I think that the fact that the president had an affair, and if he did, and we all voted him into office, sure, it's a reflection on the president. But, you know, it's more of a reflection on the people in Washington, D.C. leading up to 2016, because we were so disgusted with the politicians. We were so disgusted with inside the Beltway, Washington, D.C. We were so disgusted with business as usual that we voted him into office anyway. Despite the fact that he had character flaws. That's how sick we were of all of the things that I just mentioned. The military dwindling, the IRS being used as a weapon, non-vetted refugees, immigration laws not enforced, the VA spiraling out of control. We were so angry at all of these. And we were so angry at Washington, D.C. that despite his flaws, we voted him into office. So for a lot of these folks to say that this is a very big deal, that Michael Leventi, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, is now saying that there are other women that are going to come forward. You know what? The thing that I would say about this is bring it on. Bring it on. Because the more that they focus on these kinds of things and the more they don't take care of all of the things that I just mentioned, all of the big time problems that we have right now in this country, the more that CNN and MSNBC and all these other places, the more that they focus on these affairs, the more the American people are going to realize that it's all just a bunch of nonsense. I'm not going to say that it's fake news, but what I am saying is that there are certain things that are more important to the American people than others. Is it important that the president had an affair before he got married? Well, or before he became president, he was married. Absolutely it would, because I do believe the character matters. But I think that there are other things that the American people feel is even more important. By the way, speaking of which, Devin Nunes. Now, we all know that Devin Nunes, he is the guy who is the House Intelligence Committee chairman, and he is also the guy that has been in the House during this whole investigation into supposed collusion between President Trump and the Russians. He is now saying during a private dinner this week with a couple dozen conservatives that, guess what? The legacy news media is dead. I would say that he's right, and expressed skepticism as well that special counsel Robert Mueller would find any evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 election. Now, this is, of course, not necessarily surprising coming from Devin Nunes and coming from a whole bunch of conservatives, but they do say that this is a guy who knows better than anybody the accusations of collusion. Nunes, whose Republican-led committee on Monday, as we know, released its findings that there was no collusion, said the Democrats, with the help of the media, are hyping the Russian story because it's key to their plans of motivating their voters ahead of the 2018 election. Now, what's interesting is this. He is absolutely right, and he's also saying something that I would say anyway, that we all kind of know that the left and the media, they are doing whatever they can find to motivate their voters, to motivate their base. He's also warning that Republicans could face a massive nationwide loss if their own voters are unmotivated. You know, it is interesting. I read that and I started thinking, okay, so what brought people to the polls in 2016? Was it a hatred of Hillary? Was it hatred of Washington, D.C.? Was it a hatred of business as usual? What was it that motivated Republicans in 2016? I think it was all of the above. Now, here in 2018, Hillary's not around anymore. I mean, she is, but she's not. I mean, she keeps saying things that irritate the you-know-what out of both Republicans and Democrats, but she's irrelevant. At this point, anyway, she is irrelevant, and I would say she's irrelevant for a number of different reasons. One, because of the fact that she clearly, her political career is over, and I think the reason why her political career is over is because of the fact that not only did she lose the presidential election again, but also because of the things that she keeps saying. Her tone-deaf speeches, like the one that she just gave in India a few days ago, that is what has made Hillary irrelevant. But the question is, are Republicans going to be motivated enough to go to the polls in the midterm elections? And what will motivate Republicans? Is it going to be a love for President Trump? The economy's doing pretty good. The president's doing, you know, things to deal with the military. The president is doing things to deal with the VA. Not enough, in my opinion. But the president is doing whatever he can to try and fix our country, illegal immigration, all the things that I mentioned in a few minutes ago here in the monologue. So that's going to be the question that Republicans have to face. What will motivate? We know the left is motivated by anger, and we know that the left is motivated by hate. We know that the left is motivated by losing the election in 2016. But what's going to motivate the Republicans? Will you go out and vote in the midterm elections? What would motivate you to vote in the midterm elections? Because right now, it seems to me, and it depends on who you talk to. There's some people that say that there is going to be a big blue wave coming. Other people say no. You know what? We'll find out after the midterm elections who's right. I don't know who's right. I don't know what's coming down the pike. I'm sure that the answer is somewhere in the middle. But there is most certainly a lot to think about. And I know that every single day there is story after story after story that we tell you about that should be a motivating factor for you to vote in the midterm elections. One of those is, of course, illegal immigration, and I've got a big update on that straight ahead. 1227 Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Yeah, let's delve just slightly deeper into the whole Devin Nunes discussion with conservatives, because I do think that he does have a point when he talks about how in the midterm elections, the Republicans could be in trouble if they are unmotivated. And that is the big question that I was asking earlier. Nunes, a Republican out of California, because it's all about motivation to go out and vote in the midterm elections. Nunes complained that the media has been far more sympathetic to Democrats, arguing that there has been a much larger media presence when his committee, talking about the Russian collusion and all this stuff, when his committee interviews somebody the media thinks will strengthen the narrative of Russian collusion while virtually ignoring witnesses who could shed light on the Republican case that under Obama, the law enforcement and intelligence community abused their power to target the political opposition during an election year. Now, we all know the media's game, and Nunes, again, is absolutely right. We know that the media does anything and everything they can to try and hamstring this president. We know that there was certainly collusion between the media, the Clinton campaign, the DNC. It goes on and on. And so it all goes back to the same thing, which is, and I'm going to end this with this statement regarding what's going to motivate the Republicans in 2018 and 2020. You know, I think regardless as to whether or not you are a supporter or a hater of President Trump, whether you care or don't care about any alleged affair between Stormy Daniels and any number of other women, ultimately, we all have a common threat. And that threat is the media. That threat is liberals. That threat, the Democrats. Those are the threats that, regardless as to how you feel about President Trump, ultimately, we all have that same common threat. And because we all have that same common threat, it is my hope that all of those threats combined will motivate you to vote in the 2018 midterm elections, because it is our liberty that is at stake. It's 1230 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 1235 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. I want to welcome on in Metro City Council and Steve Glover. Steve, always appreciate having you on. Want to talk about what's going on here in the city of Nashville and what you folks at the Metro City Council are up to. Now, I know that you've been pouring over the budget. There's so many things that you folks are talking about and trying to decide what we're going to fund, what we're not going to fund. Of course, we have the transit plan to talk about. We have a demolition of Greer Stadium as well that I'm going to ask you about. But first of all, the Nashville budget, generally speaking, I know that the last time you and I spoke, there were some current concerns about some shortfalls.
Well, I mean, Dan, there's a number of shortfalls, number one. I'm going through the numbers right now trying to understand them. Based upon, and I'm in fact getting ready to walk into City Hall here in a few minutes to meet with some of the people from finance in the council office. One of the concerns I've got right now, based on the estimates that we thought was going to be there, we seem to be about $13 million shy of sales tax revenues that we anticipated we would have. If we calculated that out through the remainder of June 30th, we're going to be $22 million shy on sales tax revenues alone. Here's the other problem we have. When you look at property taxes and the amount of appeals that were given to saying, hey, I disagree with what you think I owe you, we basically granted every appeal that was given. So I think we're going to fall short on property tax collections because we actually honored the appeals that were given. Then we look at the school count. We take the Metro Schools budget, and they say, oh, we got about 1,500 kids less than what we thought, or 1,000 kids less than what we thought. There's $7.5 to $8 million. When you start adding this stuff up, we could be in the $50 million range. And I'm not saying we are, okay? So please don't take it as I'm saying the sky is falling. Right. I'm simply saying we have the potential to be in the $50 million deficit range, and we already took over $70 million out of our rainy day fund to operate the budget for this year, which we should have been using that for when we fall short. In our economy, this is unacceptable. This is completely unacceptable. And for them to sit down and now be asking us to pass a $9 billion referendum to increase our taxes and spend money that we certainly already don't have, none of this stuff makes sense. I'm not certain we get through this budget season unscathed. I think there's going to be some very hard choices that will have to be made, and I think there's going to be a few of us who are going to have to step up to the plate and make some very legitimate arguments and show people why we've been foolish on the way we spent money.
All right, so I guess my question is, and it's an age-old question, of course, do we have a revenue problem? Do we have a spending problem? Are we bringing in not enough money? We have a spending problem. Is there one place, as you pour over the budgets, is there one place where you look at it and you say, you know, because I have to go over budgets all the time here at the radio station, there's where we're spending too much money. Is it obvious to you where we are spending too much money in the city of Nashville?
Yeah, there's a couple of places that are obvious to me, but because I'm only one member of the Budget and Finance Committee, I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to tell you what I think that is on the air today. I think we need to talk about that in the committee and let each member then form their own on attitude and opinion about it. But we absolutely have a problem. We overestimated what we thought the revenues were going to be. I was always afraid of that. I warned about this last year. I've been warning about this now for a couple of years, saying why, if we have this record income coming in, why are we using money out of our savings account to continue to operate the city? We should be putting money into the savings account, not pulling it out of the savings account. But we've done it year after year after year, which is exactly the wrong way to operate.
All right, let's talk about Greer Stadium. I know that Mayor David Brierley, one of the first things he did was he is now asking for $1 million to demolish Greer Stadium. Wants to give the property, I guess, back to Fort Negley. A couple of things. One is, do you feel like that is the appropriate use for that a particular site, or would it be better for us to put something more revenue generating there? That's one. And two, what do you think about the $1 million to demolish Greer Stadium? I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you, that it's going to take that much money to demolish that thing. Good Lord, it's falling apart as is.
Yeah. So I'm not going to be able to answer it to you this way on the one and two aspect. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay. We have cars in the police department. We have ambulances with the fire department that are not operational, that are taking weeks in order to get repaired. We have zones that are not being covered with the police. We have firefighters that don't have the vehicles that need to be operational in order to respond to the 911 as rapidly as they need to be. Look, I think we all want to make sure Fort Negley becomes the park that it needs to be and that the citizens of Nashville can enjoy that. But I think if we sit down and understand our priorities, 911 exceeds me having a park, you know, to go walk around at Fort Negley, especially when I live in the Hermitage and the Donaldson area. And we already have hundreds and hundreds of acres out there that the park's bought that still is not a park. So I don't understand why we keep wasting money on foolish things when we have truly have legitimate occurrences that happen in our city every day. You know, until we're able to put every police officer in the field covering the zone they're supposed to be covering, the way that the commanders have put that into place, until we have operational money for our fire department, those things that for the public safety of the city, we don't spend $1 million tearing down a stadium to, quote, put a park in place that may or may not be able to be used by every individual in Nashville. I'll tell you this. You have a heart attack, you dial 911. I'm pretty certain it doesn't matter what age, what color, what anything, what religion, whatever you are, you dial 911. You want, or somebody's trying to break in your house or whatever's happening, you dial 911, you want a response. If we're able to tear down Greer, once we have the financial resources to do it in a economical, responsible manner, I think that's a good conversation. Today, I don't think it's a good conversation.
Steve Glover joining us, Metro City Council. In a speech last week, Mayor Briley said that if the transit plan fails on May 1st, and this is a quote, businesses will stop coming to Nashville, opportunities to lift people up will diminish, our community will not succeed unless we invest in ourselves, unless we build out a transit system that supports the kind of city we are going to build in the future. With 1 million new people, we will fail. That is, again, the words of David Briley. Seems to me a little like the sky is falling. Now, yesterday, I had a guy on that talked about a similar transit system in Portland. And he talks about how that one has failed. And we know that in Cincinnati, they've had some transit issues there as well. So you tell me, as this whole conversation regarding the transit system continues to develop, you're talking about the budget shortfall. What are your thoughts as we head into May 1st?
Okay, as we head into May 1st, here are my thoughts. Yesterday or day before, I don't remember because, gosh, we're doing the circuit every day. There were a group of us who met with the Republican Women's Luncheon, and Councilman Swope was there. I was there. A number of other individuals were there. Councilman Swope and I have been talking about transit issues. He actually has an idea that I'm trying to wrap my head around. It's complicated. I mean, I don't want to pretend like I understand it, but what I do know is on April the 10th, he will be rolling out a plan, and he's actually given me the opportunity to try and look at the numbers and try and understand those and break them down to where mathematically we can each understand those numbers. I can say this, what I do already know, it won't cost $1 billion. It won't cost $9 billion. It will cost far less than that, and it looks like it does accomplish it does remedy the problem we have in Nashville. You know, one of the things I heard the other day was from the mayor's office was, well, where's your plan? Why haven't you shown us a plan? I think one of the problems we had in the council was they began the process a few years ago showing us a regional solution. And then all of a sudden, when they rolled this thing out for $9 billion, it only deals with a piece of Davidson County. Doesn't even include my district.
Right.
Doesn't even include Hermitage. So, you know, Councilman Swope has got an idea. I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, okay, this might make a lot of sense to me. I think I would be regretful if I didn't ask people to give us the opportunity to explore this. You know, when they're arguing, if we don't pass this now, it'll take us 10 years to get it fixed, I disagree with that. I completely and wholeheartedly disagree with that. I'm asking people, please be informed, please understand, and please listen on April the 10th. Councilman Swope, much smarter on the transportation piece than I am. I do the numbers side.
Yeah. Right?
But he's got technology stuff that I'm trying to wrap my head around. I'm going to tell you right now, if people will be patient, I believe we have a solution that could be implemented within a couple of years and really start fixing the problem. If we vote on May 1st and we raise our taxes, what I'm afraid we're going to do is literally kill our economy. And this is where people better understand this. And this, I mean, with every aspect and every fiber of my being. If we do this, we have now sucked every penny in order to help for schools, in order to help for police, in order to help for fire, in order to help for anything else that we might want to try to do. Because if we fall short on the revenue bonds, and I believe we would, based on the numbers that the administration put out, if we fall short on it, it will fall upon our property taxes to make up the difference. So if you guys are okay with not letting any other growth happen in the city for something that maybe 3%, 4%, or 5% of the city might use, then go vote and raise your taxes. If you're not okay with that, you better go and vote no. We do have solutions. I believe you're going to see it on April 10th. And I'm looking forward, quite frankly, to seeing the presentation. I know right now I'm crunching through numbers to try and understand them. I do believe we've got something that's not going to cost a lot of money, if it even costs anything.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And so I think right now patience is a virtue, but patience will be the saving grace of our wallets here in Nashville.
Well, Robert Swope's plan is going to be unveiled on April 10th, that's gives us, what, about three or four-ish weeks to take a look at it. And so we'll be able to dissect it, and we'll be able to, at least for the folks who listen to WTN, we'll be able to present all sides of the discussion on transit. Last question here for you, Steve Glover, Metro City Council. The investigation into former Mayor Megan Berry continues, I guess. Where are we in the investigation?
Well, I'm going to vote that it ends, okay? I don't believe that we need to spend any more money on it. I mean, the former mayor has admitted wrongdoings. She's paid the restitution that was required. She's on probation, as is the sergeant. So therefore, I don't think there's a whole lot more to look at in that area. And I certainly do not believe that we ask the taxpayers to keep picking up a tab for something that will accomplish nothing. So from my standpoint, I'm hoping we're done with it. I certainly will vote to end it as rapidly as possible.
All right, Steve, you have a great afternoon, and I always appreciate you checking in, and have a great weekend. 615-737-WWTN. California companies, I can't believe how absolutely heinous California is treating these companies who are trying to build President Trump's wall, because apparently now the state legislature there, they are going to possibly, they're discussing denying tax breaks to these companies for helping to build President Trump's wall. Now, imagine that. Imagine that the people of America vote for the building of a wall along our southern border. And then companies, they do what companies do. It's the great American way. Everybody starts the process of bidding and trying to win the bid to build this wall. It's a massive project. It's going to create many, many jobs. And who knows, maybe, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe a lot of illegals might actually be building the wall. Because who knows who these companies are going to hire. Although I would assume that if they are bidding on the project to build the wall, there, I would hope anyway, be some sort of a safeguard to make sure that legal citizens of America were building the wall. But all of that being said, Phil Ting, and this is a guy who is very powerful within the California state legislature. He is now saying that he wants to deny the state tax breaks for companies that are signing up to build President Trump's border wall. As a matter of fact, this is something that very well could happen. He is the Assembly Budget Committee chairman. So it's not like this is some, you know, irrelevant whack job liberal in the California State Assembly. No, this is a guy who wields a lot of power, and this actually could happen. Now, when you look at this and you look at the things that the California Assembly has done in the past, I don't want to make this a whole big story on California, except to say that, you know, thank God we're not in California. Unfortunately, some of these Californians keep coming here to escape this kinds of nonsense, but that's beside the point. Ting has been a vocal critic of the border wall, describing it as counterproductive to the state's economic growth. He has also said it would be, quote, a symbol of weakness and hate to the world. Ting reportedly plans to present his proposal to the assembly at some point this week, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, the more that you hear out of California, it's not real surprising that people are fleeing California in droves. And now when you look at the things that are happening in California as far as the crimes that are being committed by illegal aliens, then you look at what Phil Ting and some of these folks in the state legislature are trying to do. Again, it tells you the story of California. It tells you the story of the problems that California is ignoring and the stories that California does ignore, all based on political correctness. It is 1250 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.